It's time for JT the Brick.
Raider Nation, unite!
Do you want to be a Raider?
The Oakland Raiders select Cleveland Farrell.
I can't wait. You know, it's going to be a great transition.
Josh Jacobs.
This is the best back in the draft.
I want them to know that I'm going to come in every day and work.
Jonathan Abram.
You want to be a Raider?
You know I want to be a Raider.
He gave you a brand new team, everybody.
We drafted the kind of guy that we want to bring into this building.
John Gruden said, I'm going to break up the team during the season. I'm going to get my guys here.
You know, I got a real good feeling about all these players.
We traded away back and traded away Cooper, but I mean, look at the result.
It's a completely different team.
JT the Brick.
A home for our players, coaches, staff, alumni, Raiderettes, fans, business partners, and the entire Henderson community. This right here is our home.
I mean, I just looked at the model of the new stadium, and I mean, it's going to be crazy.
This is what Gruden's about. He walks the walk. He talks the talk.
We got a long way to go. We have a long way to go. We're going to get there.
Come to the Raiders and become infamous.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Good to have you back, JT, with you. Thanks to everyone who sat in with me for the show last week. Really appreciate that. Ryan, Magnum, Chris Chapman, Doug is coming in tomorrow, this week, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm jumping on the Raider team plane heading to Winnipeg for a couple of days to see what that looks like as the Raiders will play the Green Bay Packers north of the border in Canada. PT's happy hour begins right now, 5 to 7, also midnight to 2, best happy hour in town. We'll be hosting some shows coming up on Fridays at Arizona Charlie's. Why Arizona Charlie's? They're owned by Golden Entertainment, who owns the Strat, 65 Taverns, Sierra Gold, all the venues that we love to go to, and your fantasy draft. Have it out of PT's with the draft kit, the reduced prices, all the specials that they have. If you're looking to quickly put something together for your fantasy draft, head to PT's, just walk in, say you're there for your fantasy draft. They will have you completely locked in with the fantasy draft kit, all the specials just for you as we get ready for fantasy football. So I moved my son. My wife and I went to Norman, Oklahoma. My son's going to Oklahoma. And we went there, and we moved him in, and we were there for too long because we were there. We didn't time it right because I was supposed to come in from the Raiders in Arizona. My wife came in with my son. We met up there. We moved him in on Thursday, and we stayed till Sunday, which first time we did this. So for your mom and dads who are driving around, if you've done this before, you know what it's like. A lot of people just literally dropped off their kids and waved goodbye. We, because of flights and coming from Vegas to Oklahoma, we were there for a couple extra days. So I know Norman, Oklahoma, a little too good. And if I could go back in the hot tub time machine, I would have gave him that big hug and said goodbye. As a dad, it was one of the more emotional moments of my life. Now, I had a couple of days to build up for the Sunday goodbye. But when we said goodbye on Sunday to him, it was one of the toughest things I've ever done. And I know parents who've been through it. If you haven't, I think you'll agree with me when it comes. You don't know what it's like until you do it. And it was great to do it, to have that great experience. And now I have a son that's back there, and I'm sitting at home, and I walked by his bedroom today, and I looked in. That was trippy, Bobby. That was the weird thing, walking by his room in my vibrant house with my dog barking and my other son, and to see that he's not there, but he's in a great spot. It's going to be great. I'm going to be heading out there for college football games and to go check it out, and that was fun. So, again, I appreciate the time off to do that, and it was everything I expected it to be. And I hope this next chapter is a lot of fun because my wife and I got back on that plane in Oklahoma City and flew back to Vegas yesterday, and it was a big chapter for us. Now back to football, where every day I wake up and there's Antonio Brown news. I would hope there would be no more news. The Raiders gave him fresh money. They traded for him. They had a press conference for him, but you don't know when he's going to be there or not. That's fair. You don't know if he's going to be there on any given day. He had the foot injury where he did some cryo treatments in Paris, didn't protect his feet. It was an accident. It was an accident. He didn't do anything dumb. He wasn't looking to hurt himself. He wasn't water skiing where he blew out his Achilles. It wasn't anything like that. He wasn't on a motorcycle. And prayers go out to Cedric Benson, who passed away on a motorcycle. He was doing something that he thought was going to help him heal and recover because Antonio Brown never stops training. Never. He's an animal. He's at the level of Jerry Rice when it comes to preparation. But the Raiders signed him to bring him in there to help the team elevate from being a four-win team and being a future playoff team. And if he's not there, how is that going to happen? So after Arizona, where he showed up for the Arizona game and worked out, and he was really active in the pregame warm-up, ran routes for Carr. He was on the sidelines the entire game, hugging Mike Mayock, John Gruden, and his teammates after touchdowns. Everybody believed that he was on board. Hey, this helmet stuff, no matter what happens, he's going to be okay. He's back with the team. Then he doesn't show up at all this weekend in Napa for a team-mandated practice. And then today, he showed up because Mike Mayock, with this comment, sent a message to Drew Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown that he needed to show up to the Raiders in Napa.
Here's the bottom line. He's upset about the helmet issue. We have supported that. We appreciate that. Okay, but at this point, we've pretty much exhausted all avenues of relief. So from our perspective, it's time for him to be all in. We're all out. So we're hoping he's back soon. We got 89 guys busting their tails. We are really excited about where this franchise is going, and we hope AB is going to be a big part of it starting week one against Denver. End of story. No questions.
That's a really important soundbite. That was Mayock clearly connecting with Gruden. Mayock doesn't do that unless Gruden and Mayock agree that they're at the point where they have to do that. You know, Mike Mayock didn't wander over to Scott Baer and the Raiders, you know, Paul Gutierrez and Vic Taffer and the guys saying, hey, I just came up with this. That was well thought out as the GM of the Raiders. And Mayock made the trade to bring him in. So a lot of people say that, oh, Mayock is at wit's end. Who knows that? I was watching some radio shows today on TV. He's had it. You don't know that. I know Mike Mayock. He hasn't had it. He just felt like he had to say that to get Antonio Brown to listen. Then Drew Rosenhaus reacted to that. He's the agent for Antonio Brown. Here's what he had to say.
We've worked very closely with the Raiders,
yeah.
And we will continue to work very closely with the Raiders. I'm not sure that we agree that we've exhausted all the options, as Mike Mayock said, but there's no doubt it's still an ongoing process. We are trying to work with the team and the league and the union to come up with a solution. We haven't figured it out yet. To say that AB is upset about the decision to not let him wear his helmet is accurate, but we're still processing it and figuring it out. I wouldn't make too much about him not being there today as much as we're still trying to come up with a solution that works for everyone.
It's very similar to what John Gruden said a couple of days ago. They're cool. They know that the helmet means a lot to them, and they had the back of him. So who's backing Antonio Brown? Well, it's John Gruden and it's Drew Rosenhaus, the two most important people, other than the owner, Mark Davis. So John Gruden saying, hey, we got his back, and the agent saying, hey, we haven't exhausted everything. He's gonna be back. So the people in Antonio's life that matter most, his head coach who's going to get him the football by calling plays to him, and his agent who secured the contract and the $30 million in fresh money, they're both saying this is going to work out. But why is it a distraction to you, the listener to Sports Talk Radio, or the Raider fan listening in Vegas? Is this no big deal? Because last week I was taking calls right here. No big deal. It's all going to work out. I'll be worried, JT, when he doesn't play on Monday Night Football. Then I come in. It's like a saloon door. It goes in and then it comes back and whacks you. Now we're worried. Where do you stand on Antonio Brown today? I need to take your temperature with this guy every day, right? 876-1340. I got people that are highly critical of Derek Carr. And certain times, if he doesn't play well, they're more critical. But I think everybody who can hear my voice has confidence that Carr is going to work harder than everybody. He's really serious about winning. He's doing everything he needs to do to win. And I've never taken a phone call without anybody agreeing to that. Antonio Brown, everybody's all over the place. Well, he's a workaholic. Well, he's unreliable. He's acting this way. I don't know about him. I don't think he's going to be here for opening day. Oh, everything will be fine, JT in Winnipeg. No one knows. So what happens is you turn on the television or you listen to another radio platform and people outside the Raiders, which is the majority of everybody you listen to on the radio, everybody outside kicks the Raiders and kicks them in the groin. I was saying the Raiders. Today I heard the Raiders are dysfunctional about 10 times. John Gruden has no clue. Mike Mayock's in over his head. Antonio Brown's going to retire. Antonio Brown's not going to be there for the home opener. I heard like 70 different things because everybody had it on. From the Today Show to the NFL Network to Fox Sports 1 to ESPN to ESPN Radio to local radio, everybody's talking about it. So you're getting all of this content and you don't know what to think. Unless your favorite guy on the radio is telling you something to comfort you, or they're kicking him to the curb. It's one of the two things. So we're trying to sit here and have an open conversation about what happens with him next. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm assuming because so much money is at stake that he'll be there. My dad taught me through my grandfather, always show up to work. My entire life, I took pride in never, never, never calling in sick unless I couldn't talk, unless my throat wouldn't work. And I always thought that work and working hard was easy. Showing up to me in life has always been easy. Talent and the ability of some other people is what I and many people have to work on. But showing up to work where you're getting a salary or you're getting a bonus or something's happening, for me, that's never crossed my mind. I've been very lucky. And I think the only reason it never crosses my mind is because of my dad and my grandfather instilling that in me. For Antonio Brown, he can miss a practice at Napa, and it really doesn't bother him. He has an excuse, well, he can't play with his helmet. So, put on the other practice helmet and go through walkthrough and play. He won't do that. He's different. Other guys would show up and take the practice helmet or the one that they're trying to make work for him, and they'd go out there with their lunch bucket and work. He's not that type of guy yet. But he's probably more talented and harder when it comes to work ethic and more intense. Oh, Jimmy G just threw an interception. Oh, Jimmy G, who threw 5 interceptions in practice, opens up Monday Night Football with an interception. Oh, this is good. Jimmy G throws a pick. Hoo-hoo! Jimmy G just threw a ball to nobody. Interception. And, oh, the Niner fans have got to. The last time he played football, he threw 5 interceptions in a row in practice. And Jimmy G opens up Monday Night Football with another interception. So, as we are in prime time, 5:13, brought to you by PTs. I'd like to hear from some Raider fans. What do you want to do with Antonio Brown? Here are your choices. Get rid of him. Do whatever you can. I don't think that's realistic. B, start fining him. Start bringing the heat on him the way Mike Mayock did. C, let him just figure it out. Gruden seems to think he's okay. Derek Carr thinks he's okay. Or the last one, get to the point where if you were sitting in front of Antonio Brown, instead of asking with a Sharpie for an autograph, if you're a real Raider fan, what would you say to Antonio Brown if you bumped into him at Mandalay Bay in the lobby? Or you saw him on the sidelines of practice and he came over to you and you had 2 to 3 to 5 seconds to say something? What would you tell him as a Raider fan? 876-1340. I'm interested in this topic because I like him. I think he's a good guy. But he's showing us something here. It's emotional distress. He's showing me too much emotion, and I shouldn't be seeing it. And I'm seeing it because I'm around the team. People who aren't around the team are hearing that he is really unstable with all of this behavior. And that's not good for Raider, the brand of the Raiders. Raiders don't want this. They're moving to Vegas. They got to sell out Oakland. They got to win games. They're playing Denver and Kansas City. They're traveling more miles than any team in the history of the NFL. You think they want to deal with this? Mike Mayock wants to go to lunch, come back, see everybody healthy, hope that no one gets injured, and hope that the team can compete. 876-1340. Oh, it's also getting interesting with Zeke Elliott. Zeke Elliott's becoming news again because Jerry Jones is starting to feel like the heat is getting turned up a bit. The heat is getting turned up a bit with Jerry Jones because he's got a guy who's not showing up in Zeke Elliott. Zeke Elliott, the great running back, is in Cabo still. Jerry took a little bit of a cheap shot at him, Zeke, who, when he wasn't there at Aloha Stadium in Hawaii, and now Zeke and his agent are a little bit upset by this. They feel it's disrespectful.
What's your best negotiator with Zeke?
Who?
Pollard.
Zeke who?
He's got you on camera.
We're having some fun. Yeah. But it's not at your expense.
But seriously, just talk about his, what he's done and just continue to show.
He just, now I will say this, that was a critical blitz pickup that got our quarterback killed. You got to be able to make that block.
Okay.
But what's amazing for him to come in here, and he hadn't done that much. He knows exactly what to do, and he knows how to do it. So it is. He goes out there, and he plays to that level, and he's going to be, if he continues this through the next several weeks, he's going to be right in the middle of it early.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll really complement what we're doing with Zeke.
Okay.
Not replace that, and right, I mean that. Not replace it, and nobody's getting cute here, but it'd certainly be a great compliment to have a great running game with I can picture those guys in same sets at the same time out there and really giving those defenses fits.
So that's Jerry Jones. They got a big problem on their hands. Where would you compare that to Antonio Brown? At least the Raiders see and make eye contact Antonio Brown. Yeah, Antonio Brown shows up every other day, misses a practice, but he comes the next day. They see him on the plane to Arizona. Zeke's still in Cabo, baby. Cabo, the home of the wet T-shirt contest, the office, and people just running around and having fun. All right, that seems like a bigger issue to me than Antonio Brown. Mike, thanks for waiting. You're up first this hour. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, JT. On the Antonio Brown thing, I don't think there's going to be an issue with him showing up to week one or playing very well. I think the bigger issue is what it's doing with the locker room. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard anything about that, but establishing a new culture, which the Raiders are trying to do coming here to Vegas, I think there's an issue with Antonio Brown kind of just doing what he wants, being somewhat non-responsive and wishy-washy as far as the locker room goes. So I think you have to start finding him just to try to keep that culture in far as moving into Vegas.
Yeah, like I don't think that's a real big problem for him because they're a year away from Vegas, and the culture for him is he's the hardest worker on the team when he's there, and the team saw that at OTAs, and they saw that in the offseason. He was just a lunatic knocking on Derek Carr's door, working out every day at Cal, working out at high schools. So they know his work ethic when he's healthy. No one anticipated, Mike, this helmet thing. This helmet thing came out of the blue and kind of derailed everything.
So do you think, I mean, there's a lot of helmet providers. Why can't somebody just make this guy a helmet?
Well, they are. Appreciate the call. You're breaking up. They are trying to make him a helmet, but he loves his helmet. He loves his tool belt. He loves his favorite helmet because that's the only one he's ever had. And he's got to get off that. They got to make him a similar helmet, as similar as the face mask is, where he can see similar to what he did with the old helmet. But then it's not going to fit the exact same way. I mean, when he picks up that old helmet he's played every game of his life with, and he picks it up and he puts it on his head, it fits perfectly. Perfectly. Now you take a brand new helmet with different foam, this, they're trying to make it right. They took his head and they measured and they did, it's not the same. And whatever that is, it's triggering something mentally where he's showing inconsistent behavior. That's it. I mean, usually a kid, hey, man, we got you a new bike. Oh, I love my old bike. Hey, man, we got you a new bike. This new BMX bike costs $300 more. Throw the old bike out. We'll donate it. You're going to have a new bike. I don't want the new bike. I like my old bike. We're not used to that. Hey, I got this 1983 car. Here's a brand new 2019 vehicle from the Henderson Hyundai Superstore. Brand new. I don't want it. I want my old car. I like my old car. We're not used to that. Everybody wants something new. Not with helmets. Not with this guy. Kyle, thanks for waiting. You're on deck.
Hey, JT. So here's the thing. If I ran into AB anywhere, I would tell him one thing and one thing only. Elite don't do this. Elite don't act this way. Grow up. Be the elite superstar that you are.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are saying that, from Mike Mayock to John Gruden to everybody. And I think fans are saying it also. But fans don't have the opportunity to talk to him as much. Fans don't have the opportunity to talk to him as much. And you're going to be able to do that. Again, close your eyes unless you're driving. If this story was a year from now and the Raiders were opening up that brand new football stadium, Allegiant Stadium, and we had this topic, Most sports radio hosts would love it. We would love it. Oh, my God, it's the greatest topic in sports radio history. I don't want that topic. I'm here to deliver Raiders content and talk about the team winning. This is serious now because it's taking away from everybody's focus on how the Raiders get better as a football team. No one's talking about X's and O's with the Raiders. They're talking about Antonio Brown's helmet. And that, to me, is cause for concern. But like many, I think it'll go away quickly. We're 21 days away from Monday Night Football in Oakland. The last ever Monday Night game in the history of the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. We should be talking about Denver versus the Raiders, not Antonio Brown's helmet. Grimaldi's, best pizza I've ever had, ever. I'm from New York. Good pizza, man. I mean, Long Island, I grew up with the best pizza as a kid. Whenever I wanted great pie, I had great pie. Then I discovered Grimaldi's, and I said, this is insane. Grimaldi's. We have the new Grimaldi's gift cards. We'll be giving them away all season long right here on the JT the Brick Show. Joe Lisi, college football's here. We'll talk to Joe next.
He's going to be fine. I'm not going to get into all the medical because we're not supposed to this time of year. But at the end of the day, he's like a thoroughbred, and he's going to be fine. And I'm hoping he'll be back next week full speed.
That was Mike Mayock a week ago before the new comments that got Antonio Brown back into camp, where he was at a meeting today in Napa. They canceled practice. Gruden tends to do that last day of practice. He will cancel it. He'll have a meeting. They'll shut down Napa. Now they move down to Alameda, where everything will be happening. I'll be at practice tomorrow in Oakland, and I'm going up there a day early for this. I want to see that practice. I want to get a close look at them before we head up to Winnipeg. And I don't know if Antonio Brown's going to Winnipeg. I would think he'd have to. He's getting paid to go to Winnipeg. He gets a salary to be a Raider. You got to get on the plane and go to Winnipeg, even though most of the starters aren't going to play. So I got back from Oklahoma, so I will be a Sooners fan diehard for the next 4 years. Joe Lisi at Go for the Two, our college football insider. I don't know many people who know college football as good as Joe. He'll be joining us all week long as we get ready. Wanted to get him in here for us on a short week. And, Joe, we touched on it last week. Let's jump right in with this Miami-Florida game. The Miami news of Tate Martell not being named the starter was a big topic last week. Does Miami have a chance with their young quarterback to compete against the Gators?
Yeah, JT, thanks for having me. I think they do. I think they have a great chance to be in this ball game from start to finish. It's a rivalry game. I think last year's performance as well against LSU, where there was a lot of hype and a lot of support for Miami in that ball game, disappointed a lot of fans. And from a physicality perspective and an emotional perspective, I look for Manny Diaz and the crew to be up into this ball game. I look for Williams to make enough plays in the passing game, and it really comes down to the strength of Miami. They pounded the rock for 196 on the ground. Florida's defensive weakness last year was in run support. They gave up 165 per game, so I think Miami's a live dog in this ballgame.
Yeah, the line opened up Florida -7.5, and we'll play it here. It's still at 7.5 here. Any play on the total, which is going lower? It opened up 50.5, now 47.5. Do you think it could go off even lower than that?
Yeah, I do not like betting unders, especially in the college game. But I if I had to pick a side, I would say I would lean with the line move from 50 down to 47.5, because I think Miami's going to look to run the football. And when you look at Miami's defensive strength, they were the number one ranked statistical pass defense in college football last year, giving up 135 yards per game. Number one ranked third down defense as well, holding opposing offenses to 25% on third downs. If they can do that against Felipe Franks, they'll force three and outs and get field position, and really will be able to control and dictate the tempo of that matchup. So that's why I lean to the under in Miami in that ballgame.
Joe, is there a team playing in the first 2 weeks that you're concerned about? Maybe injuries, maybe some off-field distractions that you're looking at here because they didn't have the off season and they're coming in with a tough test early on their schedule?
Yeah, one is Virginia Tech against Boston College. Last year they underachieved with Justin Fuentes, 6-7. Josh Jackson got hurt early on and transferred to Maryland. But there's a lot of eyes in Vegas. They're 7.5 win total right in that area. A lot of people expecting them to overexceed expectations. This was one of the worst statistical defenses under Bud Foster last year in terms of run support. They allowed 211 rushing yards per game, 5.4 yards per carry, and they lost this matchup to Boston College in Blacksburg by 10 points. The Eagles rushed for 211 yards in that ball game. They're going to look to run the football, Boston College, with A.J. Dillon. Last year, every time they pounded the rock for over 200, they were 7-0 and won those ball games by 15.3 points per game. Line open up, Virginia Tech minus 2.5. It's up to 3. I like Boston College on the money line and with the 3 points in that ball game.
Joe Lisi at Go for the Two, a must follow if you're a college football fan. Joe, I talked to a lot of Texas fans over the last couple of days, and they have a gauntlet early on, but they are vastly improved with recruiting, the players that they're bringing back. They have LSU coming up on the 7th of September, Oklahoma State at home, and then the Oklahoma game on the 12th at TCU 2 weeks after that. I mean, we're going to know a lot about Texas after their first 5 or 6 games. They got a tough schedule, but they believe they're up to the challenge. How do you have Texas this year?
I have them at 9-3 overall, and you mentioned that September 7th battle with LSU. Keep in mind that Texas is 12-6 at home under Tom Herman, but more importantly, have defeated their last two SEC rivals in Missouri and Georgia in bowl games. But LSU travels very well, 4-2 last year on the road, and they're going to hit Texas in the mouth in this ballgame and see if they could stop the run. Even though LSU is opening up the offense with 5 wide and Joe Burrow, they're still going to look to run the football, JT. The strength of Texas last year was run support. They gave up 131 per game, but they only have 2 starters coming back on defense. LSU, since 2016, is 14-3. Every time they rush for over 200, they won those 14 games by 21.7 points per game. I like LSU to win this ball game by double digits, 10 points or more over the Longhorns.
Joe Lisi is our guest. Joe, I'm fascinated with Oregon, not only because of their quarterback and how explosive they're going to be, but I think they're better on paper than every team that they're going up against this year. I don't think they're going to go undefeated, but if they get by Auburn in that first game, you know, they're ranked higher than Stanford. They're ranked higher than Washington, even though that game is at Washington. A USC, I think, I don't know what USC is going to look like by that game, but I think Oregon is a much better team. My point is, how good is this Oregon team? Could they run the table and go undefeated, or do you think they get tripped up right out of the gate against Auburn?
Well, I think the first game is obviously critical. I mean, they're 5-13 over the last 3 years on the road or on a neutral field site. And Auburn defeated Washington last year 21-16 with Jake Browning. They're going to face a quarterback that's going to challenge that defense vertically in Justin Herbert. The one thing I think when you look at this matchup is Herbert, as a quarterback, JT, hasn't had a solid road win. He knocked off Michigan State on a neutral field last year. But you look at 2 games against Utah and Washington State, he could not lead his team to victory. If they get this victory, I still think the best team in the Pac-12 is Washington with Jacob Eason because of the body of work. 24-5 over the last 3 years in Pac-12 play. But if Justin Herbert starts fast, they could possibly run the table. They're a hot team. A lot of people in Vegas like them. I picked them at 8-4 this year. I just think their road efforts, that October schedule, to me, is the difference why I like Washington in the Pac-12.
Joe Lisi at Go for the Two. This Wisconsin fans, I got a great buddy of mine. His son's going to Wisconsin, and he's going in for that Michigan at Wisconsin game on September 21st. Look, we know what Wisconsin does. They take the air out of the ball. They run it. They always have a great running game. Their offensive line and their running backs have been historic there. And Michigan, that would be their first road test, and it's a big one in conference there. I think Michigan has all the hype coming in. They got the quarterback play. I think that Harbaugh is going to have his breakout season, but how can concern to you that it's going to be kind of like the Northwestern game like last year? Take the air out of the ball, control the clock, because all everybody's talking about in Madtown, in Madison, is Michigan and Harbaugh coming to town.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan dominated this matchup last year with Alex Hornibrook at the helm. Now it's Jack Cohn, and they were able to run the football on Wisconsin's defensive front. They gave up right in the area of about 150 rushing yards per game. that's going to be the concern in this ballgame. But I have more concerns about Michigan since 2016 under Jim Harbaugh. The team is just 9-9 overall on the road or on a neutral field site. And let's be honest, in three games last year, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Florida, those were their three losses that they lost by 18.6 points per game. They all came on the road or on a neutral field site. So I think this is a critical matchup for Michigan. Not sold on them this year. I picked them at 10-2. After Wisconsin, they have to face Penn State the week before Notre Dame as well. So those are the two key games for Michigan this year. And that's why I like Wisconsin not only to win that ball game, but I like them to win their half of the division in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and Joe, with your preview, the work you've done in the offseason is incredible. You mentioned who you're sold on, you're not sold on. Who's that team outside Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia? The three teams that are outside the top three that you're really sold on that you think could make that great run this year. Who do you love?
Well, I have Ohio State at JT. I don't think it's any surprise. 33-4 over the last 4 years in Big Ten play, and now they get Justin Fields just being the starter. I like Ohio State in the Big Ten, and then Washington with Jacob Eason. I think it's going to be a significantly different offense under Jacob Eason than we've seen with Jake Browning. And to me, that'll make up for the deficiencies on the defensive side of the ball. But keep an eye out for LSU. If LSU wins that ballgame in dominating fashion, week number two, they can run the table to that November 5th matchup against Alabama. And anything can happen in the SEC, even though Bama's won 8 straight by 15 points per game. Keep your eye out for Joe Burrow and the crew down in Death Valley.
What are you working on the site? What do you have this week? This is your time, Joe. You're ready to go.
Yeah, I actually have team previews of all the top 25 teams. Video is up there. The book is up there. If they want to break down week one, we'll be getting into that over the next couple of weeks as well. Week one content will be coming out at the end of the week. So keep an eye out for all that stuff up on the website.
Yeah, I love the videos that you put out on all these teams. I watched a number of them. Great work. We'll talk to you next week, Joe. Thank you.
Anytime, JT. Love the show.
Joe Lisi at Go for the Two. And he did an amazing job. He's got every team that matters with a video preview up. So you got a team that you care about, right? Top 20 team, top 10 team. Go do it. Go check it out, and he'll have a full breakdown of everything. And Joe is legit. He picks games. So Joe told me, hey, when I come on, JT, I'm always going to give your listeners picks. And Bobby and I, what we're doing is, and Bobby, you can jump on the mic. We're putting the show together. We've been together since 1996, right? 1996?
It just makes us older.
I know. What we do at this time of year is we break down the show and we build it up again. Because remember, people in our industry say, have you evolved? Have you changed? We know what
we're doing on a yearly basis.
We know what we do. We break the show down. We have new commercials. We have new imaging. We do all this work because we like to do it. And then we come back with a fresh show for football. Because that's the calendar we work on in sports.
Exactly.
We work on the football calendar.
Exactly. I mean, you know, financial calendar starts in July. Everybody else starts in January. Ours starts September.
Yes, but we have something different here on the side of the building.
Yes, we do.
We have the Vegas Golden Knights. Mm-hmm. We have to concentrate on both.
First preseason game is September 15th. That's week two of NFL.
Yeah, and that'll affect our show because on nights of regular season games, I repeat, regular season games that I'm in town and doing the show, we'll take it up to 6:30.
Yes, sir.
To the game. Mm-hmm. And then on nights that will be from 4 to 6. And there's going to be a lot of things happening with the show coming up before that, which I'm excited about. We're going to talk to Jim Gemma, the Aviators, give you an update on what's happening at the new ballpark. That's another thing. I mentioned my son just went off to college. He worked at the ballpark. So what I would do on certain nights is I'd go down there to see my son. I'd just go down there with the credential, go see my son. He'd be giving out a bobblehead. He'd be working at the front. And then when, you know, the game got going, I'd sit with my son for a few innings. I love that. Now I'm going to just go to Aviator games because I love $2 beer a night. And, Bobby, I do hide my credential when I'm having my $2 beer a night. I go say hi to Jim.
I
go walk around. I do that. And then I hide my credential because I like my $2 beers.
And you know what? Even though the kid's in Oklahoma, you still go to the games. You know why? They're tied for first with 15 games left.
But getting back to it, it just... I'm not going to get in trouble because I like $2 beer night, right?
Oh, hell no.
I mean, isn't that one of the great things left in life?
One of the very few, but absolutely.
My wife and I went to a movie. We saw the Bruce Springsteen movie, Blinded by the Light. Popcorn, water. We don't drink sodas, but we had popcorn, had some food with more than the tickets. And when I go to an Aviator game, they don't gouge me because I got $2 beers. Man, I love $2 beer. When I went to college, Geneseo State University, they had $7 all you can drink. And $2 pitchers of Alabama Slammers. That was in college back in the late 80s. They don't have that anymore. In Vegas.
I haven't heard of an Alabama Slammer in decades. That's great.
Pitcher of Alabama Slammers. Ooh. And all you can drink for $7. So really quickly, what we would do is, when you went to college to this big promotion, $7 all you can drink, you had to pay a dollar deposit for the glass. So it was $7 you paid at the door, and then a dollar deposit on the glass, which you would give to the bartender for all you can drink beer, that was. So what we would do at the end of the night, as people were falling down because they couldn't stand up, we would grab as many glasses as we could. I mean, bear hug glasses, 10, 15, and we would return them all for the dollar deposit. So we would make money going to all you could drink. It was $7, but we'd come out of there with about 15, 20 bucks on deposit money back, and that would pay for subs and beer on the way home.
And that's what you get for going to college, the smarts to do stuff like that.
But that'll never happen again. Because everybody's butthurt and scared. You can't let college kids have $7 all you can drink anymore.
You can't do anything.
You can't do anything anymore. Back in the old days, it was a free country. You could do whatever you wanted. When we come back, Jim Gemma from the Aviators will join us, tell you about all the praise raining down on that ballpark and the standings and what your Aviators are doing. Because we're also the flagship of the Las Vegas Aviators. We'll get a baseball update. And we'll tell you what's happening the rest of the night. And busy week as I head to Winnipeg. Will Antonio Brown be there? We have breaking news also on Antonio Brown next. You don't want to miss it.
There's a fly ball to deep right center. Way back. Weeks looking up at this one, and it is gone. Barreto hits number 16, RBIs 56 and 57. Las Vegas extends its lead to 7-2, then the bottom of the sixth inning.
Love it. Aviators Radio. Jim Gemma, kind enough to join us, the media relations director of your Las Vegas Aviators. Jim, good to talk to you again. Good to have you home. Big series coming up. How you been?
JT, thanks so much for having me on. Yeah, right. Second leg of this homestand tonight through Wednesday against Reno. Obviously, both teams, El Paso and Las Vegas, 73 and 52 with 15 games left on the season.
So this is where the franchise wanted to be at this point, especially the fast start this year, all the talk of the ballpark. But let's spend a few minutes talking about the success in the standings and what's at stake here over the next 15 games, which are real big ones.
Yeah. Obviously, Oakland A's have always made a concerted effort to field a competitive team in AAA, like for years in Sacramento. And, you know, this has been a great relationship with the A's. We have a two-year PDC with them. So they've had a lot of guys down here on Major League Rehab this year and some top prospects that the fans here have gotten a chance to see. So all in all, on the field, between the chalk lines, it's been a really fun team to watch.
And Jim, that's a big part of your business, especially with what you do in media relations. When you have players coming down from the big ball club and we're seeing future prospects and all of that, how have you been engaging the fans? Because the fans are coming in, they're loving the product, they're loving the ballpark and all the promotions. But as you said, there are some really good prospects and some players that are coming down on rehab. How are you connecting with fans who they know on a certain night there's going to be a star in the ballpark that wasn't there on the last homestand?
Yeah, it's always it's not only us, it's the opponent sometimes has a player on ML rehab, which is always a good thing. But the A's, you know, Mark Canha, Matt Olson, Stephen Piscotty. Right now we got Sean Manaea, Marco Estrada's down here on ML rehab. So we've had a lot of players, and I know you've had Sky Bolt on the show. Mm-hmm. He's one of the prospects. The top prospect is Jesus Lizardo, a lefty. He's healthy again. He's going to make another start in tomorrow night, actually, against Reno. So it's been very well. Sheldon Noisy, and then you had a veteran like Eric Campbell. So it's been a really good mix. Seth Brown, who's come up the system, has 35 homers, 101 RBIs. So the guys have done a great job.
Jim Gemma is our guest. Jim, I wanted to ask you about all the praise raining down on the ballpark every time we have you on or I see you, and if it's the AAA All-Star game in the future or if it's just the sellouts again and again with the Howard Hughes Corporation and all this great news with the ballpark. What's coming up? Also, I want to get into the movie nights, as I think that's an unbelievable promotion with Sandlot and all the great opportunities fans have to get into the ballpark and see it on nights when there isn't even a game.
Yeah, I believe there's going to be 8 of those. We've had one already. The next one's this Thursday. That'll be a cool thing. It's $2. You can go hang out on the field. It's a pretty cool atmosphere to do. Obviously, we're approaching probably by the end of this homestand, we'll hit the 600,000 mark, which is still surreal, leading all the AAA, because there's some really good markets in the International League. There's 3 teams over 500,000 in the International League: Charlotte, Columbus, Lehigh Valley. You got Round Rock, Sacramento, and the PCL. So there's so many good markets. And, of course, today we were awarded the 2020 AAA National Championship game on September 22nd of next year. What that means is the winner of the International League plays the winner of the PCL for a winner-take-all. That game's going to be played in Memphis at AutoZone Park this year on September 17th.
That's a great event to have, and that's something to look forward to. Jim, also, the weather hasn't been the issue that a lot of people expected. I know we've had a couple of hot days, but not as hot as we expected when this season was coming to fruition. Everybody was talking about certain nights. What challenges have you had with the weather at the ballpark? We've talked in the past about, you know, the ball getting out quickly certain nights, how the weather could change, these beautiful sunsets, everything with the ballpark, and it hasn't been a blistering summer like some predicted.
Well, I think the architecture design of the ballpark, the premium seats have really done the trick. Those are ones that the Atlanta Braves even have. They really are 30 to 50 degrees cooler. I know the fans have raved about it. They're comfortable. I was sitting in one today talking to someone, and the mesh seating, that has really helped. Just the architecture, though, with the high, really high press box and just the second deck, it does, there is a lot of shade. I know, obviously, in the summer, it doesn't get dark till 8 o'clock. It's starting to tail back now. It's getting darker earlier and earlier. So a lot of the field's in the shade already. That really helps.
Jim, finally, for you personally, with everybody coming in wanting a tour of the ballpark, other play-by-play voices come in. They're amazed by what they're seeing here. Walk me through what these last 15 games are going to be like with rivalries, fans coming in from other markets. When I was just in Oklahoma City, and for the Dodger fans that came here recently, when you're able to be a fan and you can put this on your bucket list to come and see this ballpark in year one, we see that with the Golden Knights in their inaugural season. What are you hearing from fans and from staff from these other teams as they come in and you give them a tour?
Well, the players of the other teams that played here this year, obviously, you know, they get to stay at the Red Rock Casino, which is great in itself, but they love the place. The visiting side amenities are probably the best in all of PCL as far as the weight room's great. It's a joint weight room, but the size of the visiting clubhouse is really great, and the lounge and the indoor hitting cages is key right now with the heat. And because, you usually hit 4 to 5 o'clock, 4 to 6 o'clock, and it's still very hot out. But just all in all, it's just a great facility. As you know, JT, walking around the lower bowl is a Major League Stadium.
It's incredible. Again, I just love going there. The humidor is working right? No problems with the humidor with the baseball.
I don't know about that, but this year using the MLB balls, the humidifier is working as good as it can, but these guys are so good, too. That has a lot to do with it.
Thank you, Jim. We'll see you out at the ballpark. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Jim Gemma with the Aviators. What a job he does. Every time I go in the press box, everybody is just amazed at this experience. It is a great experience. If you haven't been to an Aviators game yet, what are you waiting for? From the free parking to the amenities at the ballpark, just walking around completely. The food is unbelievable. $2 beer night. What a home run. What an absolute home run for the franchise. All right, breaking news from Adam Schefter. Raiders wide receiver Antonio Brown filed a new grievance against the NFL in an attempt to be able to wear his helmet. Okay, I have no problem with that. He wants to wear that helmet. If he can file grievances with the league and put pressure on the league, remember, we're talking about his brain, his head, something he's comfortable with. I don't know, maybe someone told me, no one within the Raiders or the NFL, But I heard something pretty sharp the other day. What happens if Antonio Brown was allowed to play with his old helmet but had to sign his life away? Couldn't sue the league if he got hurt, anything like that. Basically had to sign his life away. Why not? Because the league is a PR league. The league wants everybody to wear certain helmets because they know they're having lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit for CTE and brain protection over the years. If you're joining us late, Jimmy Garoppolo is a bleeping disaster. Jimmy Garoppolo came in, almost threw an interception on his first pass, almost threw another one, and they got him out of there quickly. So the Jimmy G experience with the Niners, I wouldn't let him play, Bobby, the rest of the preseason now. It's done. After this stunt today, get him out, get him into practice, make him feel good, and have him ready because the he might turn out to be fine. This is preseason football. No need to go crazy. What do you want to do? A, stay healthy, and B, get a little sweat, get a little work in. It's not working out for Jimmy Garoppolo. Get him out and hope that he's ready to go when the season starts. Man, I mean, I go back long enough to remember when guys really wanted to play in the preseason to get loose and get ready. Now, no way. Everybody is scared to death that they're going to get hurt. What a promotion for Remy Martin. They had their sneaker formal at the Great Tao location, which is fantastic. And they had an event that was incredible. And we're going to tell you more about our relationship with Remy Martin, the official cocktail of the JT the Brick Show. Now that I'm drinking Remy after the show or out at the pool on ice, oh, the Remy Martin XO. Where have you been in my life for so long? I can't put it down. But I drink responsibly, and I don't drive. I love the cabbies who listen. The LV Cab Chronicles. I love the Cab Driver Radio Network. And I love my Uber and Lyft drivers, because they're always reliable and on time for me. Thanks to Bobby, who put the show together, and all of our guests. We'll have a couple of gentlemen sitting in for me as I'm out of here, traveling to go see the Raiders play in Winnipeg. So I'll be at Raider practice tomorrow. Follow me at JT the Brick. As soon as I see AB, I'll tweet about it, maybe with a photo. Because I know one thing. Every day I wake up, it's all about Antonio Brown. Have a great night, everyone.